I have the greatest planty present for you. It is the new download that I'm offering called the Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide. Identify and eliminate the top 6 houseplant pests. I made this for you because I needed this download last year and I did not have it, and I want to save future pain for you in your future. So last year, I had a horrible altercation with whiteflies. I saw one little bug flying around my plants and I ignored it. And a couple days later, I noticed that I had an enormous swarm of whiteflies that had taken over my entire shelf of plants. It was miserable. It took weeks to treat. And it's because I was unprepared. I never want you to be unprepared when it comes to houseplant pests, and winter is the season for them. So I created the Ultimate Houseplant Pest Guide. It's a free downloadable 14-page PDF that gives you everything you need to know to protect your plants from mealybugs, scale, fungus gnats, thrips, spider mites, aphids, whiteflies, and more. It has general pest control advice, and then it breaks down each pest. It gives you clear photos and teaches you how to identify them, and then gives you step-by-step guides on how to treat with natural options, chemical options, and even beneficial insects. It's so good. So go ahead and download it now. It's totally free. You'll learn immediately from reading it, but you'll also have it for if you ever need to treat for pests, which sadly, it's not if, it's when you care for houseplants. Go to growingjoywithmaria.com/pest and keep your plants thriving, pest-free, and growing joy this winter with your free 14-page download. That's at growingjoywithmaria.com/pest. Your plants will thank you. Did you know that you can actually use your plant passion as inspiration for how and where you go on vacation? Yeah, I know. My ears perked when I heard about this too. I'm sure many of us have already been on a trip that had already been planned and decided to stop and take pictures of plants that resemble ones that we have at home or ones that we've never seen before. Or maybe you've insisted on swinging by a local plant shop or an arboretum or a garden center or even a botanical garden. But plant friends, that can be just the beginning of how you travel and botanize for your plant passion. And we're going to dive into everything you need to know about it today. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants. Hello, plant friends. I'm Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants successfully and grow joy by doing so. If you are new here, welcome. If you are a repeat listener, welcome home. I'm so excited to be part of your planty journeys. And I'm so excited to explore a not plant care episode, but a plant passion episode with two dear friends, Leslie Halleck, who you know if you've been listening to the show. She definitely holds the award for most guest appearances on this podcast. She's my horticulturist bestie. She's amazing. And today we welcome, in addition to the conversation, Marcia Castro Rosenberg. She owns Rooted For You, which is an amazing plant shop in Vegas. She's been a longtime listener of the podcast. She was part of our garden society when Leslie and I ran that garden society together. And they both have taken unbelievable vacations inspired by their passion for plants. So not only are you swinging by the local botanical garden, but they've actually built their vacations over decades to be about getting into nature, getting into the jungle, getting to see these tropical plants that we know and love in real life, where they are, you know, naturally grown. And Leslie and Marcia have actually teamed up to create a once-in-a-lifetime trip called Botany and Betterment. It's a 7-day riverboat and jungle adventure on the Rio Negro River in Brazil this August. I've seen the itinerary. It looks insane. But as they've been planning about this and I've been hearing about it, it's really gotten me to thinking about this whole traveling for your passion for plants. And I knew that there was a whole episode here because they've been doing this for decades at very different scales. So we talk about how you can connect to your passion for plants by botanizing, which Leslie will describe what botanizing is, in your backyard, using your, you know, the plants in your backyard as an escape, as a quick escape, a quick mini vacation. Or maybe you're looking up an arboretum or a botanical gardener where you're, when you're traveling for your next family wedding, or maybe you are exploring and committing to traveling for your plant passion. We're going to talk about all of it on today's episode. So welcome and let's dive in. My dear friends, I'm pinching myself that I have the two of you on Growing Joy today. Welcome back, Leslie, and welcome, Marcia.
Thank you. Yay. I'm so excited to be here.
You know, Maria and I, we just like any excuse we can find to get on here and chat, but I just come up with a lot of excuses. I want to say like what we're going to talk about today. OMG.
So excited.
Yet, Leslie, I'm so excited. Now, obviously, Leslie, you are a repeat. You probably, you know how on SNL, like you get a 5 times jacket. I feel like you need some sort of jacket because you've been on way more than 5 times, I think, at this point.
Isn't there a badge? Shouldn't I have a badge?
I need a badge. I need to make a special badge for you.
Yes. A little botanical badge for repeat guests. I mean, look, having plant friends in real life, which is one of the things we're going to talk about today, is so fun. And, you know, you and I connected on such a friend level when we started talking about plants originally that it's just fun to talk. And yeah, any great excuse that I can have to get on and talk about planty things with you, I'm going to do. And yeah, we've done it again.
We've done it again. So I am so excited to introduce our community to Marcia, a dear plant friend of mine as well. I will never forget getting to finally meet you in person when I was in Vegas. But Marcia, you know, this is your debut on Growing Joy. So you have such an awesome history of being a listener, turned plant shop owner, to turned partner with Leslie. So can you tell us a little bit about how you became the plant lady that you are today?
I'm from Brazil. So growing up in Brazil, plants were all around me. But I did have plant blindness. I was so used to having plants all around me that I really didn't stop and pay attention to them very, very intentionally. And then around my 20s and early 30s, I started really feeling like all my vacations were into nature destinations. I did Venezuela, Costa Rica, Peru, always going back to Brazil. But I still love the way they looked and being in nature, but I still had some plant blindness. So then in 2017, I took my family to Brazil on a riverboat trip with my uncle, who's a biologist over there. And I don't know what happened, just being there in that immersive environment, everything clicked and I became obsessed. And then it just so happened that I came back and I started cultivating plants. I still didn't know how to care for them. And then pandemic happened. And I had the time and I had the real need for some mental health. And then I found you guys. I found your podcast. And then I met Leslie. And then I started really toying around with the idea of switching careers and going into a planty business. And I'm a firm believer that success leaves clues. So I lean into your podcast. And then I hired Maria as my horticultural coach for my business.
Leslie, not Maria.
Yes. I feel like both of you are so integral to my business that it's like both my mentors. Yes. And then about a year and a half to 2 years before I actually opened my business, I hired Leslie and we started working together. And it was a very intentional business. And in 2023, we opened Rooting for You here in Las Vegas. And it's been an amazing journey. And I wouldn't be here without both of you. So I'm very thankful.
Aw, we love you.
We love you. I'm so proud of you. I mean, I remember, so you were in our garden society back in Leslie and my garden society days. And I remember like being on Zoom calls with you when you were like, I'm going to open a plant shop. I'm going to do this. I'm going to transition. You were in the medical field. You're transitioning into opening this. And you were so thoughtful and intentional and measured with how you approached it. And when I finally got to come visit and you gave me all your Rooting for You merch, I literally drank my coffee out of my Rooting for You cup yesterday. It's just been a dream to watch you follow your dream.
And you never know the effect you have on people, right? Because, I mean, when I say both of you are so integral to Rooting for You and me making that transition in life, I really mean it. So thank you.
Yeah, we're both so proud. We're so proud. And I'm so proud of the two of you because both you and Leslie have such passion for traveling. So Marcia, you talked about, you know, your riverboat in Brazil and how I feel like once you also come out of plant blindness, you almost cling and want the connection to nature more because you realize what you've missed, like, and that you'll never take it for granted again. Leslie, I know that you also have done many different adventures for your passion for plants. What has that looked like?
Well, you know, I had the fortune of growing up as an army brat overseas, and my mom's a gardener. So you know, from a very young age, I was visiting, you know, historical European botanical gardens. And, you know, so I was really kind of immersed in that as a child. My first immersive botanizing trip, if you will, I was 21. I had just finished my degree in botany and hadn't had a chance to do an internship while I was in school. So I took an internship with the University of Puerto Rico after I graduated and spent about 5 months living in the El Yunque National Rainforest down in Puerto Rico, you know, back before we had cell phones, back before anybody was on the internet, you know, back when I was living in a tiny camp in the mountains at this research station, and we would get carted down once a week to make a phone call to somebody with a recording voicemail service, and maybe they'd pick up and maybe they wouldn't, and got to travel the whole island, spent all my days collecting data in the rainforest and then traveling around Puerto Rico. So that was something where I was doing plant research and published some fern ecology research from that. So, I mean, that's quite an immersive experience to get to have as your first botanizing trip, is really living in the rainforest, living in the jungle. And if you read my prologue for my book, Tiny Plants, I talk a little bit about that journey and how that sort of seeded a lot of passions for particular plant species for me, tiny plants in particular. But, you know, after that, I've done many trips that you can call botanizing trips or botanical trips. I spent a couple of weeks remote Amazon region of Peru with some local shaman there. So that was an incredibly unique immersive experience there. And of course, did a lot of botanizing. One of my favorite botanizing trips was traveling Ecuador. Ecuador is just such an amazing place with so many different ecosystems and elevations for you to investigate plant life. So I traveled, just kind of very ruggedly traveled the whole country investigating many different ecosystems. So that's probably one of my favorite trips. So I have a penchant for getting kind of dropped off in the jungle and hunting for plants and animals. I'm a huge poison dart frog fan. So I'm always looking for herps, reptiles. Don't touch, only look. So I'm always looking for wildlife too. So, you know, but my interest will range from visiting very formal gardens and botanical garden collections to roughing it out in the Amazon. Now, we're going to get to this later. Marcy and I aren't going to be roughing it on this trip that we have upcoming. We're going to make it easier for everybody. But I can tell you that one of my happiest places is really being immersed, forest bathing, if you will, in ecosystems such as rainforests, and really just
jungle
feeling
bathing,
completely enveloped by nature and getting to learn and explore and find wonderful plants. So I love it all.
So Leslie, you've mentioned a couple of times, well, first off, forest bathing is a thing, but I want you girls to start jungle bathing is your next thing. So Leslie, you've said the word botanizing a lot in what you were just saying. For those people who might not understand what botanizing is, it's kind of a term you've keyed. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, botanizing is cool, by the way, just in case you weren't sure about that. But, you know, botanizing can mean many different things, depending on the context of where you are. But essentially, Marcy was talking about being plant blind before. It's the opposite of that. On a daily hike or in your backyard or in a neighborhood or on a trip, essentially what you're doing is exercising your observational skills when it comes to plants. So identifying individual plant species, maybe using a plant key, taking photographs, making notes about the ecosystem, plant companions, what other species do you find growing together, learning about that plant ecosystem and the wildlife that interacts with it. If you ever go on a walk with me or even in a car ride, chances are you're going to have to stop a lot every 2 seconds. You know, I joke, my husband, Sean, on any trips that we take, basically he has 5 million photographs of me from behind, crouched down on the ground, you know, taking pictures of plants or sketching plants. I mean, that's sort of what I do. So you can botanize in the jungle, like the old school botanists used to do, and collect plants and press them and catalog them. Or you can simply observe and take photographs or sketch with your notebook. You can bring a plant key with you. Yeah.
Is there traveling involved in botanizing? Is part of botanizing having to travel somewhere in order to experience a plant?
No, you can botanize in your backyard. You can botanize at your local botanical garden. You can botanize in the commercial median down the street at the shopping center that has a bunch of cool plants in it. I mean, when I teach any of my plant-related courses, indoor plants or botany or whatever it is that I'm teaching, I always tell my students essentially what I'm doing is teaching you how to reframe your observational skills and develop your observational skills so that you're seeing and paying attention to things about plants that you didn't before, right? Resolving that plant blindness and triggering what we call the reticulating activator in your brain to filter what your brain then consciously chooses to focus on by creating the filter of plants, right? I'm going to put on my plant filter glasses today when I take my daily walk around my neighborhood. I'm going to pay attention to the trees. I'm going to pay attention to the stage that the foliage is in based on temperature. I'm going to look at the plants growing around that tree, however you want to do it. So you can botanize anywhere you are at any time, any day, every day.
I also feel that that ties very much into your message of plant care, self-care, because when you start botanizing, it brings you into the present moment. You become more aware of your surroundings. You're present with the plant. So it's almost a practice of active meditation. And it was such for me. And during pandemic, it saved my mental health. And then I feel like once that plant blindness is lifted and the botanizing starts, it just doesn't stop. Everywhere I go, that's the first thing I see. When I'm watching TV, I'm looking at the plants in the frame. I'm deciding if the plant was staged or if it's in the location that it could thrive. And then you just never turn that off again.
Oh my gosh, botanizing while watching TV. I will never get over the Boston fern on the Will and Grace set. Like the Will and Grace when they just did their, you know, their new season. There's the most epic Boston fern in no light, and I don't understand. But yeah, it's,
well,
fake.
It's fake.
I know.
Or he moves to a window after it's done.
It's only there for a minute, and then it has to move. Yeah.
Plant friends, it's no secret that I love Espoma Organic and their products, their potting mixes, their fertilizers, their tones. I love them. I use all of their products in my indoor and outdoor gardens, but I don't know if you know how sustainable and committed this company is to organic gardening practices, in addition to making all of the products that I love. Espoma Organic has a really large commitment to sustainability. Their manufacturing facility is 100% solar powered, and it consists of panels that cover nearly 24,000 square feet of office ground. Espoma has always been a minimal waste manufacturing facility and continues to strive to create zero waste during its manufacturing processes. It's one of the largest recycler of manure. It prevents millions of pounds of raw manure from leaching into waterways. It also uses bio-preferred packaging. So if this episode has you inspired about sustainable living and connecting more to the natural ecosystem and organic living, you should try Espoma Organic. They've been championing organic living and sustainable living for decades, and they make the most amazing products. All of my houseplants are in their potting mix. I don't plant anything in my outdoor garden and frankly in my indoor garden now without sprinkling some Biotone Starter Plus plant food when I plant the plant up. They have fertilizers for everything you could possibly imagine in the garden. To learn more about Espoma.com and their amazing products and their commitment to sustainability, you can go to Espoma.com to find where your local Espoma dealer is. Or you can go to my Amazon storefront for my curated list of Espoma favorites. If you are wanting to bring more biodiversity into your garden, have you considered or heard of the concept new naturalism? There's actually a book on it by Kelly Norris, who has just come out with a new handbook all about how to build and maintain natural gardens called Your Natural Garden. Caring for a naturalistic garden is vastly different than caring for the traditional home landscape of carefully manicured plants separated by mulch and regularly primped and pruned, because a natural garden actually celebrates biodiversity and wildlife at its best. And it's about using garden care methods that mimic nature instead of controlling it. Kelly's book, Your Natural Garden, walks you through all of the different seasons of a naturalistic garden's life and the tasks and to-dos that come with each of them. So the book has advice, tutorials, and gorgeous photographs offering examples and inspiration of well-tended naturalistic plantings and the tasks that are needed to properly care for them. So whether you're looking to get inspired, whether you're looking to execute, grab yourself a copy of Your Natural Garden by Kelly D. Norris, available wherever books are sold, and get growing. That's Your Natural Garden by Kelly Norris. So along those lines, you know, this idea of botanizing, this idea of kind of taking your passion for plants into the real world, not just with the plants in your house. I will never forget when I was in Costa Rica for my honeymoon and we got to Costa Rica. I've never been to that kind of environment before. We went to this really fancy dinner one night and I am staring at a rubber plant, at a Ficus elastica that is 40 feet tall, the most glorious variegation, like the most glorious Ficus elastica I've ever seen, nothing like I've seen it in its houseplant pot. There was the same with the snake plants everywhere, with the philodendron and the monstera that were crawling all over the floor. Like, I never understood epiphyte until I went on this trip. And there was this moment of like total awe of taking like, oh my God, that's what I have in my house, but in real life. So what has been your most like memorable experience botanizing while traveling? Because you both are such avid travelers and you do travel for this plant passion. So Marcia, I'll ask you first, like what's been your most insane experience?
For me, it was quite unique because my first Amazon trip, I spent a week with family and friends in the riverboat, and something moved me and something touched me and it woke me up, but not fully. When I came back, I was inspired to start cultivating plants and bringing them indoors and learning about them. And then fast forward seven, 8 years later, this past June, July, I went back with another group to the same location, virtually to the same trip, but now there was no plant blindness. And I was like in awe of everything. Everybody was annoyed with me on the boat because these plants were not botany plants. They were not plant friends. And every hike I did, everybody's going ahead and I'm like stuck for 30 minutes in one small little region. So it was really incredible to just go back to the same spot on the same trip, but now with different eyes, with more awareness. And just in awe of everything. Like you said, the juvenile leaves that you see, all of a sudden you look up at the tree, they look completely different at, you know, when they climb and the variegations. And then, of course, my uncle has been in that region for over 40 years and he's been doing these trips for 20 and he has tons of knowledge. And he's guided National Geographic trips and other plant-related activities. So he geotagged some plants and some orchids. And I was just like a kid in the candy store. I came back, yes, and I told Leslie, we got to do this.
That reminds me, another moment in Costa Rica, I was at the spa because, you know, I'm on my honeymoon. I'm not like traveling. I'm at the W. staying somewhere nice. But I'm at the spa and I remember looking at this plant that had climbed the wall being like, what is this plant? It had three separate kind of leaves within its stem. It was so gorgeous. What is this plant? And I trace it down all the way to the bottom. It was a syngonium. It was the mature version of a syngonium. We are only caring for the juvenile versions of it. And my mind was so blown. And you only get to see that when you're actually where these plants thrive. So Leslie, what about you? What's your most memorable experience?
Well, that's tough for me because I've done so much plant so much plant field research, so many plant trips that it's really tough. It's like asking a horticulturist what their favorite plant is. That's really tough. I'll just pick one contextual experience. So in Ecuador, that trip that I mentioned, I traversed pretty much every elevation that you can get to. It's such a diverse country in terms of the types of plant ecosystems that you can witness. But on one day, we trekked up active volcano Chimborazo, which is in the Andes, and it essentially ends up looking like a moonscape. So we were up at about 18,000 feet of elevation. And yes, there are plants growing there. Very tiny plants that are adapted to those super harsh conditions. You know, you would never think that anything is growing up there. But if you look down, squat down, look close, all of a sudden you discover an entire plant ecosystem. That's what's so amazing about plants is that, you know, no matter the ecosystem, you can find plants that have adapted to grow just about everywhere. But when you aren't paying attention, you're going to miss them. Or if you aren't paying attention, you're going to miss different reproductive phases that we were just talking about, the syngonium. Yes, we most of the time are only getting to experience or see juvenile phases of many of these, you know, semi-epiphytic type vines, such as, you know, philodendron and monstera and syngonium. But out in situ, in their natural environment, you get to experience these plants in a completely different context. And it just becomes such a much more impressive experience. So I would say, I mean, I can talk about 1,000 different cool plant experiences for me. Obviously, originally discovering the itty bittiest, tiniest Lepanthes orchids during my stay in the El Yunque National Rainforest in Puerto Rico, which is what inspired my tiny plant obsession, was sort of a big plant aha moment for me. That was a holy crap. This is the most amazing itty bitty tiny thing I've ever found in my life. To discovering just the most resilient, cool plants up at 18,000 feet up on an active volcano, you know, in Ecuador. So you know that I'm not snobby about plants, and I do call myself an everythingist. So the reality is I will get excited about just about any plant anywhere. I'm probably going to get excited about it. And I think that's the thing to remember traversing any ecosystem is that there's always something to be amazed about. I also happen to look, I'm a very interested in mycology and fungi as well. And so I'm always looking for cool species of fungi. So that's another thing that you get to do in the jungle is you also get to discover a lot of cool fungi species that you might not be expecting. So paying attention and looking closely and slowing down and stopping to pay attention is key. When you're traveling, when you're on a trip, or you're actively botanizing, there's something amazing to discover pretty much anywhere you go.
Yeah, I love it. So you ladies have put together the most insanely immersive, I've looked at the itinerary, it's the most insanely immersive traveling for your passion for plants, traveling for wellness, traveling for this jungle bathing experience. Let's call that 5.0. And I want to get into that in a little bit. We're going to talk more about what that looks like. That's botanizing 5.0. Botanizing 1.0 is looking in your backyard, which with my recent move to Florida, I feel like I've been botanizing in my backyard because every single tree, every single plant is like totally new to me and it's been super fun. For people who want to travel for their plant passion, who want to incorporate their hobby of plants in their vacation, because a lot of people don't. A lot of people just go on vacation and think, oh God, I need to hire a plant sitter for my plants and I'm just going to go completely forget about this side of myself. Like, what's the 2.0, 3.0, 4.0 versions for people who are traveling, want to travel for plants, want to begin their passion for traveling for plants, but maybe not necessarily immerse themselves in a jungle quite yet?
Well, I can say as a primer for botanizing, I think just having a few things with you, a little sketchbook or a notebook. Sometimes I like waterproof field notebooks because you never know where you're going to be or if it's going to be wet or raining. You know, a couple of pencils, a pen. You know, what's really fun are there's all these cool little tiny watercolor sets now that are travel. So I always look for travel friendly art supplies, little tiny watercolor pans, little brushes that have water inside of them. So you don't have to carry, you know, bottles of water. Obviously, you know, your phone or camera, whatever you like to take pictures with. If you want to get a little bit more detailed, there are plant keys. These would be things that we would use to try to identify plants, but essentially just observational tools. A little hand lens, a little magnifying hand lens is a fun thing to have when you're doing basic botanizing, because what you can do is take a very close look at leaf morphology or flower morphology or insects, whatever the eye may not be able to distinguish clearly on its own. And really, you don't even need that if you don't want it. You can just take your phone and take pictures of things if you want. But simply walking around your neighborhood, or if you're on a trip somewhere, a great thing to do is obviously find any good nature hiking trails. I like the All Trails app. I use that all the time just to find good hikes. And usually there'll be notes about things that you can see or pictures, so you can kind of get an idea of what you might see along the way. Looking for your local botanical garden is a great thing. You always want to try to visit the botanical garden. So that's something that you should always put on your itinerary. An interesting place to look for cool gardens you might not think of is that oftentimes museums have also very cool gardens or collections or sculpture gardens. So you might check out the local museums to see if they have a well-known garden. And then obviously local plant shops, you know, local garden centers or plant shops, like, you know, Rooting for You, you know, go see Marcia if you're in Las Vegas. So I think that's a fun way is to hit a couple of plant shops or garden centers just to see what's happening, what's going on, what kind of cool plants are out there. So you can certainly, a lot of them have little coffee shops or cafes, so you could just sort of make that a stop on your trip. So I think even if the travel you have planned is not plant centric, there are typically very easy ways for you to integrate some plant-focused little side adventures or trips. And I think that's the easiest thing to do, quite frankly.
Also, those plant shops, those employees are going to know all the planty places to go as well. They're going to know the museum that has the incredible interior courtyard or anything like that. Marcia, did you want to add anything?
Yes, when I was doing research before I opened Rooting for You, everywhere we traveled, I look for a plant cafe or I visit all the plant shops. A huge inspiration for me was a succulent cafe down in Southern California. They used to be in Carlsbad, now they are in Oceanside. But, you know, just being in that place and seeing what was possible. At Rooting for You, we also open at a biophilic event space and we have beer, wine, and sake. We have classes. We have live music. We have book clubs. So there's a lot. We kind of became a community hub. So it's a place that even if you're not looking to buy plants, you can walk into a biophilic space and just immediately decompress and also find like-minded individuals that are there for the same reason.
It's so amazing. Not to mention you have like a content creation studio, like local influencers Yes. can basically come in and shoot all sorts of stuff with you as well.
Absolutely.
That's still on my bucket list. I was thinking too, I think the museum is a really great idea, Leslie. Also, I was thinking when I was in Italy last year, I politely requested like, Billy, you can plan, you know, 9.5 days of this trip, but may I have half a day? Because there was this botanical garden that was a historic citrus nursery. Yes. And yes. It had all of the historic citrus. You know, I'm a citrus freak. And we had to drive, you know, it was kind of en route. It was kind of out of route. Like it was an extra hour drive. But we ended up having a beautiful time at the Citrus Botanical Garden learning about it. But also we ended up being in this really kind of remote area of Italy. We had the most amazing dinner. Like when you travel for plants, you also get all of these other things that are unveiled to you that you would never access if you hadn't gone to that remote botanical garden or this remote location, which I think is interesting. Leslie, I wanted to ask you, you had mentioned a plant key, because I think this plant key is a really cool entry, you know, kind of gateway drug for botanizers. So where can people find plant keys if they wanted to, if they know that they have a trip coming up, or even if they wanted to get a plant key for wherever they live nearby?
Sure. I'll have to send you some links because there are a lot of different plant keys and some of them are, you know, comprehensive by types of plants. Some of them are going to be by family or by genera. So, you know, you're going to have to, you can check your library, you can check online. So there's a lot of different, you know, there's not going to be one book that's a plant key for every plant species there is, right? Let's be real about that. So usually they're broken down and segmented and essentially old school plant keys, you know, will, you know, let's say, for example, you know, start with a family and then a genus. And, you know, what are the specific characteristics that define that genus? Typically, you know, it would have been, you know, flower or seed morphology. And there will be descriptors that you follow. It's like playing a game. You know, there'll be a sentence that said, if, you know, the leaf serration looks like this, and the seed looks like this, you know, and you plug that together and you go, oh, no, that doesn't look like that, but it looks like this. Then you follow that part of the key. So it's essentially a process of elimination. It's not going to be perfect for you unless you are already a plant expert that understands sort of the family or the genus that you're working in. But it's a great way for you to kind of exercise your plant ID skills out in the field and learn how to use a key. So I'll have to pull some sources for you that maybe you can list on the episode.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, just to get people started. And then there are a lot of what we call field guides. And that might be easier for the beginner rather than trying to learn how to use a botanical key, maybe first off. Field guides, the field guide to North American wildflowers or the field guide to, and generally those can be more regionalized. So, you know, for example, you might find a field guide to the native plants of, you know, the Southwest or the Northeast. So depending on where you're going, I actually found one of my cool finds because I had a trip planned to Ireland, which unfortunately got canceled due to a cyclone in the Atlantic at the time. But I found one field guide plant key to the plant species of Ireland. And it's the only publication that I could find of its. So that was a cool find. So get online, search where you're going and look for plant field guide or plant key, plant ID key, and see what you can come up with, because some of these publications are quite obscure, you know, and they may only be published by the local plant society that focuses on that particular group of plants, or a botanical journal may have published a key or a field guide for specific types of plants. So just search field guide, plant ID, key for where you're going. Sometimes you can find guides that are very specific to very small regions or even cities, you know, that you're going to, depending on the flora in that place. So you got to do a little bit of digging, and you may or may not be able to find something that's very specific to your needs, but you may be able to find a regional or country field guide that will help you at least narrow down. Oftentimes, what I recommend to people is learn some of the basic characteristics that one would expect to find within a particular plant family. You know, when I teach my botany classes or indoor plants, I kind of start out by introducing key plant families. And then we work down to the genera, the different genus in that family, and different characteristics that you might look for there. And if you can learn to generally recognize a genus, then oftentimes it's a lot easier for you to then key out the specific species that you're looking at. So just giving yourself a reference place by using a field guide is a great way to get started as a beginner.
This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by Manucora Honey, also known as Honey with Superpowers, also known as my new hyperfixation, if you've been listening to this podcast for the last couple of months. I use it almost every morning to make my coffee so delicious. Manucora Honey is single origin, rich, creamy. It's so delicious. It almost tastes like caramel. And it's collected by bees that only feed off of nectar from the Manuka tea tree in New Zealand. That's what makes it so special, and that it has three times more antioxidants and prebiotics in it than your average honey. Try it for yourself, plant friends, and you'll get $25 off their starter kit since you're a listener of the podcast. So all you have to do is go to manucora.com/bloom. Manucora is spelled manukora.com/bloom, and you'll get $25 off your starter kit, which comes with an MGO 850 plus Manuka honey jar, 5 honey travel sticks, which are great for like a long weekend, a wooden spoon, and a guidebook. That's manucora.com/bloom for $25 off your own starter kit. This episode of Growing Joy with Plants is brought to you by my favorite olive oil company, Grazza. So I'm Italian. I've grown up on really high quality olive oil my entire life. And I also have a husband who is incredibly picky when it comes to cooking ingredients because he's an amazing cook. And last month, he actually came home from the grocery store with a bottle of Grazza olive oil. It's really cute bottle of olive oil. The design is really chic and pretty. It has a screw top, which we love, and it's so delicious. So when Grazza reached out to me to be a sponsor, I was so excited because I've literally used Grazza olive oil that morning to make my scrambled eggs the day that I got the offer for them to be a sponsor. What I love about Grazza, it's top-notch, extra virgin olive oil that comes from high-end Spain, and it's at an affordable everyday price. Sometimes olive oils can be so insanely expensive, and this is really approachable for what it is. I also love that they have an eco-friendly refill can situation. So you get your bottle, you go through your bottle, all you have to do is order a refill can that comes with the exact amount that fits into the bottle and save a little waste. So Grazza's hooking you up with 10% off your first order of any of their olive oils on their site. All you got to do is go to grazza.co/Maria. That's Grazza, GRAZA.co, just CO/Maria. I would highly recommend getting their starter kit. It comes with 2 squeezy bottles of the olive oils that they have. So the sizzle is for cooking, the drizzle is for finishing. And then you also get 2 refill cans. So you get it all in one foul swoop and you get 10% off. So head to grazza.co/Maria to get 10% off your Grazza starter kit and get to cooking your next chef quality meal. You know, you mentioned asking, you know, finding guides that are made by local garden societies, and you're also saying guide, and it has me thinking, also, you could hire a human guide, right? So a fun, if you're on vacation, maybe you ask, you know, can I have half of a day? Find your local garden society, local horticulture conglomerate, that's not the right word, but you know what I'm thinking, and see if you can hire a local guide to take you foraging. You know, like when we were in Italy, we went with a truffle hunter, you know, going in the Catskills where I used to live, I had multiple friends who were foragers who would lead you on foraging expeditions. And that's something that, you know, I'm so interested and excited to hear more about, how you guys are creating this amazing trip that comes with a local guide, that comes with Leslie's horticultural expertise, that comes with Marcia's wellness expertise, hostess with the mostessing expertise. So like, I need to know how this whole trip that you've put together, kind of first of its kind, never seen before, how did this come to be, ladies? Like, tell me everything.
Well, I guess it started with me going first, right? My uncle has been doing these trips in the Amazon for over 20 years. And it's funny because this is...
And you had told me about this like 2 years ago, Marcy. Yes. I remember you mentioning this. Yes. This was a seed that's been planted and germinating for a long time.
Absolutely. So I was in the States and he would come visit me. And we had a lot of things in common because we like adventure. We like hikes. I had done Machu Picchu. So we had a lot of things in common. But me in the States and him living in the northeast part of Brazil, we didn't get to see each other so much. And he's like, you got to come do it. You got to come do it. Well, in 2017, I finally got a group and went. And I was like, how did I not do this before? It was incredible because what's unique about the trip, first of all, he's worked out all the kinks. He's been doing this a long time. That's all he does. He's a biologist. And he has very extensive knowledge of the region. Also, his crew has been in the region. You know, some of them are native Brazilians that lived in the jungle, that every year there's a 70-year-old guy that he uses that every year goes into the jungle with one of his kids with no supplies and gets out 10 to 20 days later because he wants to pass that on to the kids how to survive in the jungle. So the Wow. knowledge is incredible. But what is really, really exciting is that it's a rustic boat, but it's almost like 4-star accommodations. You have a double cabin. You have air conditioning in your cabin. You have hot water. You have 4 different decks. You have a jacuzzi on the top deck. So you're like glamping.
I love that.
All your meals are cooked for you. All the food is amazing and fresh. They accommodate any dietary restrictions. We have a motorized canoe to get into the flooded islands and really get close to all the plants and the animals. So everything is worked out for you. You just go and enjoy the nature. You can stay on the boat and take it all in. You can go in the canoes. We do hikes, tons of opportunities for botanizing. And it just is that immersive experience that is so unique. It's a bucket list trip for sure. So we were trying to figure out how do we make it so it's really easy for people to access. They don't have, we're going to do all the planning and the logistics on our end. So all people have to do is arrive in Brazil. They get taken to the boat. It's a 7-day riverboat cruise. And then we come back and drop them off at the airport where they take their flights back to the U.S. So it takes all the guessing game, the hesitation and the fears. And they're going to be guided by, obviously, Leslie. I've been there twice. I will be on the trip as well. My uncle, Gilberto, who's worked with the National Geographic and has tons of experience, will be there. And his crew that is used to just going into the jungle and living there with no supplies is also going to be at our disposal.
This sounds amazing. I think you also point out something that reminded me of a different trip I had taken with Billy. And for his birthday, I surprised him and I hired a local to take us cenote hopping in Mexico. And he took us to all the different cenotes. He was a local that I had a hookup with from a friend of a friend. He would get hired to find movie locations for people. And he took us not to the cenotes that were popular that you could read about on all the blogs and go and were like overridden with tourists. He took us to like these wild, crazy cenotes that only the other locals went to. He took us to the local. We had like the best octopus of our life for lunch. Like he took us to the local place. I feel like when we travel, we do that a lot with food, that you have to ask the locals, like the service, like the people behind the bar, where they go to eat to find the really good restaurants. And you've done this because you have your hook up with all of your locals. The boat is all run by native speakers. The boat is all run by people who know those jungles like the back of your hand. Because for me, I'm scared to go to the jungle by myself. Like I'm scared to go and trek around the jungle and not have medical help and not speak Portuguese and not, you know what I mean? But the fact that there's support there
absolutely
is so appealing.
Yeah, I did that when I went to Ecuador. Now, I tend to be on the opposite spectrum. You know, I tend to...
I know. Leslie's like, put me in the jungle by myself for years.
But we did. So I kind of did that rough, did in Ecuador, but got to Ecuador and just randomly found a local guy, young guy, local guy who wanted, who had started an ecotourism company, but just said, hey, can we pay you to just drive us around the whole country? And it was amazing. And he did the same thing. And I think Marcia contacted me about this because she knows I do this sort of thing. She knows I've been to a number of jungles many times. And, you know, I think the key for us is as women travelers, right? Obviously, you know, women have to think about safety. We have to think about planning. I've done a lot of backwoods trips with just me and maybe one other woman that would probably be very intimidating, justifiably so, to many people, not just women. And so, you know, when Marcia called me one day and said, look, you know, I know you do this sort of thing. My uncle's a biologist that has this amazing trip. Would you be interested in partnering with me and basically being the botany hostess, I guess, if the way you look at it.
English speaking too, right.
As somebody with experience doing these kinds of trips. And we put our botanical horticulture knowledge, jungle trekking, and, you know, wellness and native understanding of the country together to create an Amazonian, like a bucket list Amazonian trip. And we're calling it Botany and Betterment in the Amazon, because that's the two things that we bring together to create a trip that is accessible to people that might otherwise never feel comfortable doing something like this. We've made it, again, as Marcia talked about, everything is organized. And we've spent a lot of time going back and forth on the itinerary because, you know, I was very particular about, we got to get out every day. We got to get out and see, you know, the jungle. We need to walk. We need to have a very immersive experience. But it's one that's, I call LITE. It's easy. It's accessible. The hikes are not going to be super physically challenging. You're going to be able to be on the boat every day, not have to get on and off with all your stuff and travel from one location to another. We have an expert local guide, plural, to take us to see specific plants. We just wanted to create an experience that was going to be give peace of mind, that was going to be totally organized, that was going to resolve some of the fears and concerns people would have about traveling to the Amazon in Brazil for the first time ever, and maybe the only time that they ever get to do something like this, and also put together a small group of like-minded travelers that can also support each other in terms of wellness, personal and professional development. So we're really blending a lot of things together on this trip that I think make Botany and Betterment really unique. It's going to feed a plant passion. If you want to go botanize and you want to take 5 million pictures, or you're a botanical artist and you want this opportunity to be face to face with these plants and elevate your botanical art, there's those opportunities. But I've also had some friends contact me and say, hey, like, I'm not a super plant geek, but this trip would be amazing. I've always wanted to go to the Amazon. Is it cool for me too? Totally. Absolutely. You don't have to be a plant nerd, you know, specifically to do this. And I think what's great is that, you know, both Marcy and I are going to have activities planned to educate both on the botanizing side with Marcia's extensive medical background and her specialties and personal development. There's going to be opportunities for that. And then there's also the opportunity to have one-on-one time with us. You know, I do botanical business coaching. If anybody's on that trip and wants some one-on-one time with me, we're going to do that too, because there's time on the boat for us to relax and hang out, do some yoga on the deck, have some activities together. I'm going to set up botanical art stuff for you so you can work on that when you're on the boat. It's very unique. And so I was really happy that Marcia contacted me about this. We've worked hard on it to put this trip together to really fine tune something that's accessible and that is immersive. And there's something cool that you're going to get to do every single day on this trip.
You've shown me the itinerary. It's insane. We'll link, you know, you guys can have links in the show notes to go check it out. What are each of you most excited about?
I am excited about actually meeting some plant friends in real life.
Yeah.
Because the majority of my plant friends are all via Zoom.
Yeah.
Or phone
totally.
Calls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we're in a time where we need community so badly, and we all crave, and it's hard to make friends as adults. And I think it would be amazing to meet some like-minded individuals that then when we come back, we keep in touch. And who knows, other trips may pop up. We may come up with different adventures. So that's what I'm most excited about, is to actually create a community of like-minded individuals that like doing these type of things together.
Me, I, of course, it should be obvious, I'm excited to just get back into the jungle because, you know, I love that. It's really a happy place for me. So I'm super excited about that. But I also am very enamored with this small group. There's only a maximum of 16 spots plus Marcia and I. So that's it. So it's a small group. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited that, yes, this is going to be communal. I spend most of my time behind a screen working with all of my clients and teaching my classes. And it would be so fun to get back into an in-person group element in that environment and just plant geek, plant art, nerd out.
I love this like art station you're telling me about. I'm like, I don't know if I want to do the hikes, but I could definitely just sit there and paint plants for the entire time.
I think that's an important distinction is that we have activities. We have lots of activities every day. Everything is going to be optional. So if you want to do the one hike in the morning and hang out on the boat and make art or journal or whatever it is that you want to do, just relax or swim.
I wish I wasn't married so that this could be my bachelorette.
You know, this is really, it is, we're calling it a wellness retreat in addition to it being an amazing Amazonian botanizing experience. I think what I am excited for is a reset. I think to Marcia's point about building community, I think, you know, many of us are looking for ways right now to do something positive, to feel better about the mm-hmm. world. And I think that one of the most powerful things that we can all do as individuals is build community of like-minded individuals. And this is an opportunity to do that. So a major reason I agreed to do this with Marcia, not just because I want to get back in the jungle, but because I feel like it's a very proactive, meaningful way to create community and create the spaces that we want to be in moving forward in 2025.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
Why did neither of you guys say the pink dolphins?
Oh my gosh, the pink dolphins are incredible.
I didn't even finish reading the itinerary when I saw that you'd be swimming with pink dolphins.
I've met the pink dolphins before in the Amazon myself a few times on some of my backwater trips.
And the crazy thing about the pink dolphins is that they're wild. They're not in a tank. They just are so smart that they know you're going to feed them when you tap on the water and they all come. So you're literally swimming in the Rio Negro River, right? The Black River. And then the guy that takes care of, you know, it's all regulated. He comes with a bucket of fish and taps on the water and they come from everywhere just because, you know, they figure it's easier to be fed than to have to fish. So they're extremely smart, but it's like, it's an incredible experience. You're in the water with tons of pink dolphins, prehistoric dolphins. It's like an incredible experience.
And I know some people, and I get a lot of questions about this because I have done kind of remote Amazonian things before. You know, oh my God, you get in the water. I've swum in places much more remote. Swimming in the Rio Negro, it's pretty, again, L-A-T-E. It's all good. You're good. But again, only if you're comfortable. You don't have to do any of those things that you want. You can watch from the deck if you want to watch me jump in and go commune with the pink dolphins if you want. But there are going to be opportunities to do these kind of once in a lifetime things on this trip that, again, even if you're not super plant nerdy, it's going to be cool.
And I will say another unique thing about the Rio Negro is that because the water is so acidic and devoid of nutrients, there's no mosquitoes. So that I was so surprised that, you know, my uncle says, just for peace of mind, bring your bug repellent, but there will be no mosquitoes. And he wasn't lying, which was also very refreshing because I was concerned about my first trip. Because they love me. And I'm like, am I going to be eaten up alive? And you don't see any of that because they don't breed in those waters. There's no nutrients in the water. So it is quite a comfortable way to glamp in the Amazon.
And we're going to provide, and just so to reassure you, we actually have detailed a lot of information of everything that you need to know before you go to Brazil, everything you need to take with you, everything about, you know, travel documentation. We are providing health and wellness information on anything that you would need to be prepared for. You can, you know, Marcia, again, is an incredibly credentialed medical professional, can answer any of those questions. I've done multiple trips down to remote areas, so I can also give personal experiences about what you need to do or what you don't need to do. So there's a wealth of knowledge and information, and all of that information is going to be available to you up front.
Yeah. So we will link everything in the show notes. This trip is on sale. There are only 16 slots. So if you're interested, go click and go sign up. Where can everybody find you too? So obviously we're going to have everything linked, but if people want to ask you guys questions, obviously if you're in the Las Vegas area, you must visit Marcia's store, Rooted for You. But also, where can everybody find you guys in case they have personal questions that they want to ask before they might sign up?
They can email us at botanyandbetterment@gmail.com. They can reach out via socials. We're Rooting for You LV on Instagram. They can find Leslie on her socials, right, Leslie?
Yeah, at Leslie Halleck on Instagram, Leslie Halleck on LinkedIn, obviously my website, lesliehalleck.com. It's all my name. So if you just search Leslie Halleck, you'll find me. But feel free to DM or send me an email on my contact page at lesliehalleck.com. Any of our Rooting For You shop or my website, feel free if that's easier for you to get a hold of us. But yeah, or you can just drop us an email, botanyandbetterment@gmail.com.
We'll have everything on the show notes.
Yeah, it'll all be linked, but sooner the better because the trip is open for booking. And again, it's limited spots. It's going to be really cool. And I'm really excited about it.
Click the link just to read the itinerary. When you girls sent me that itinerary, I was like, this is insane. I cannot get over everything you've packed in. And also you had me at the Pink Dolphins, but you also had me at AC. I feel like air conditioning, like there's no way I would go on a trip like this without air conditioning.
It's plant glamping. That's what I put on the brochure. It's like plant glamping. Like I have slept in a cot and on the ground out in the Amazon. This is not that.
This is not that.
This is much more comfortable, but it's still rustic and you're still in the Amazon the whole time.
And so just to be clear, the hikes are also light, but there's so much beauty around it. You don't need to go far. It's like a 1 kilometer hike took me hours to get through because I was just like, I didn't know where to look. So it's not very extensively physical. There's a group from San Diego Orchid Society that goes, that they've done like 11 trips with my uncle, and some of them are 80 year olds. So, you know, it's all ages. I've taken kids. This particular trip, we're not bringing kids, but it's for all ages. Anybody can benefit and enjoy if they choose not to go on the canoe rides or the hikes.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, you ladies are amazing. Botany and Betterment, I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for you. Everything will be linked in the show notes. Don't miss out on this trip, plant friends. It sounds like the vacation of a lifetime.
Thank you so much for having us, Maria.
Yeah, and we'll see you on the boat in Brazil,
yes,
in the Amazon. We're going to get full of botany and full of inspirational personal growth and development and make a bunch of new plant friends, and it's just going to be amazing.
And a good tan while they're at it. Thank you, Leslie and Marcia. You can obviously find them at Rooting For You and Leslie F. Halleck, but all the links to Botany and Betterment are going to be in the show notes. I believe by the time this episode airs, enrollment is open. There's a link in the show notes that you can go and you can learn more about their Botany and Betterment 7-day riverboat and jungle adventure on the Rio Negro River in Brazil, August 15th to the 21st. If I didn't already have a conflict, I would be on this trip so quickly. And I am really jealous. I already have a lot of FOMO. I want to swim with those pink dolphins so bad. But anyway, you can click the link in the show notes to learn more and also just follow them because they're wonderful. And I hope this episode inspires you to, you know, the next trip you take, like add a little bit of botanizing into your vacation, whether it's on a small scale or a large scale. It's all available to you because also this is a lifelong relationship that we have with our hobby for plants, right? So you can start small and build, or you can just dive into the deep end, whatever feels the best for you, because this episode, this concept, this entire brand is always here to help support you, to help you keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free plant parent personality test. Because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.